Sheila, you made it. You've had quite a week. Your parents are here too. Great. Wow. What was it like, the move?
Tired.
That was decades. It's hard, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks for making the effort. I was afraid you wouldn't make it today. Thank you.
We were too.
That's great. Lord, please hear us in our hearts and hear my words. And Lord, I pray that you would do something with us that you do to your whole church, that you would bless us and teach us and change us. Each of us cry out to you and read the scriptures and pray, but there's something about being together that your promises are here that we can't do when we're alone. And I pray that you would do that this morning again. Please honor the faith of those who have gone before. Thank you, Lord, and bless Bud and Paula. We miss them very much. We pray that your spirit would be with them today. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is a tough one for a blabbermouth, somebody who says too much. You know, I don't like this one. I'd like to take this right out of the Bible. I mean, not really. I respect the scriptures. I'm not going to do that. But this one is a tough one. I believe that the Lord has led me to see this scripture as a process. This is a process that needs to happen in each of us and in a congregation. As we said, I think it was last week, this is a general letter. It seems, and of course, you know, we're only reading the scripture, we're trying to unread it. It seems that Paul was not writing to a particular situation, but he was teaching about, in the first three chapters, he's talking about what it means to be the church, this and that. And then from the fourth chapter, he's talking about the specifics of how to deal, but not to Corinth, not to one particular church, but this is sort of how you do it. It seems that way. And here, he's talking, it would seem, in the verses that, Holton read this morning. He seems to be talking about life in general, specifically how to be a Christian, to anybody who might read the letter, no matter what kind of a city that you live in. How to behave, how to talk in life, and how to talk in church after the experience of meeting Christ and learning that our sins are forgiven. Look nice. Talk nice. Don't bring that stuff into here. Do people say that? See, I don't think you say that. But a lot of Christian people say, don't bring that up. Why do you have to make trouble? Why can't you just be nice? I've seen pictures of Western towns constructed as a set for movies. Maybe you've been to one of these Paramount or something and seen it in person. But there might be two or three stories of a piece of plywood just flat like that, held up with boards. And there's on the main street, but there's nothing behind it. So on the main street, it looks like you have a three-story building, but it's just nothing. It's just held up with boards. And there might be other buildings that are the elaborate sets. But the town is not what it seems to be. A person who trusts God or a community of faith is never just a movie set, an advertisement for God. Oh, don't say that. We don't want people to think that God doesn't take care of you, or we don't want people to think that people who trust God don't, you know, struggle with problems. A church is not a movie set, an advertisement, make nice, be nice. I believe God is speaking through Paul in this passage to teach us how to live, not how to present ourselves and how to put our best foot forward. A big part of living, and even, not even, here Paul is also speaking, a big part of living is how to address and deal with the ugly parts of ourselves and our communities. But Paul here is saying, that sentence needs to continue, the ugly parts of ourselves and our communities in a way that leads to truth, stability, and peace. When our thoughts and the experiences that we store in our hearts match up with the way that we speak of them, and in addition, our thoughts and experiences, our true self, have moved through fear, pride, anxiety. We've gone through the valley of the shadow of death, and we have come to peace with God so that we can be imitators of God without just being a movie set. Trust God, God will take care of you, three stories high with nothing behind. Paul is writing about peace and cooperation and sharing, but we are not exhorted to appear to be at peace, to appear to be cooperating, not to show the ugly parts to the neighbors, but to actually, to actually be so, to be so. To be at peace in a community means dealing with the ugly things that are there, but in a way that moves through those things to the reality. It is surprising how often people are told to be quiet and not raise issues that everybody knows are real. I don't even have to give you examples, right? Because you know that this is true. But in this book called White Tears and Brown Scars, it's about white women who start crying when black and brown women tell them about the realities of life. This by Ruby Hamad. She speaks here of people who raise issues. I couldn't understand why and how I would end up apologizing to them when I knew that they had wronged me and done me harm. She's not black, she's a part indigenous and part something else, I can't remember, but she's an Australian. I couldn't grasp what would make someone I considered a friend lose her temper with me in a split second.
I promise I did.
Contempt so sudden and vicious, it left me breathless.
I promise I did.
And tell me I was being mean to her. Because I said that as a white woman, she could not know what racism feels like. That response of white people, myself, to don't want to hear it, don't want to hear it. Why are you doing this to me? We don't want to hear it. But Paul says there's an ugliness there and you need to move through it. And in terms of a congregation, this book, Circle of Hope, if you ever get a chance to read it, this is a very good book. Page 161, the founder of a visionary congregation was speaking prophetic truth that the church was off course, but he was no longer the pastor, but he felt that he had to continue doing that. It was a willful disruption, was hurting the church and becoming an obstacle to their ability to lead that together. Something was going to have to change. And in this case, it wasn't that the person had to go on speaking the truth. The church had to speak to somebody who had formerly been a pastor and tell them that it was not time for them to be speaking these things. And the third example I have to you is, and I can't find it. It was in a book that I read recently. It wasn't the main character, it wasn't the main thing, so I can't find it again. But there was an older male leader who was speaking of a young child who had said what a man in the community had done to her body. She was so innocent that she didn't know what had happened, so she described it physically as to what had happened to her. And the leader of the community said, "Can you believe the mouth on that young girl talking about things like that?" He was blaming the child for speaking of something she didn't understand instead of addressing the issue. So maybe not your community, but in general, we don't want to hear things. We blame the person that raises the issues. Paul writes of building others up according to their needs, speaking in a way that benefits those who listen, living a life of love, imitating Christ, and being dearly beloved. This passage teaching helpfulness and usefulness, purposefulness, acknowledges the reality of life. Verse 31, see, Paul's talking about holiness, and then he has here it is, get rid of bitterness, all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. The way forward to a community that is truly living with wholesome talk is not through silence, not through wishful thinking, but through the very difficult tasks of building each other up through kindness and compassion. This road, as Paul notices here in 32 and in chapter 5, leads only through forgiveness. It is not possible to live in such a way that no one will ever have to forgive you, nor is it possible that you will never have to forgive someone else. Be quiet, don't disturb everyone with your talk. But Paul is teaching us here to speak and interact in ways that lead to health and growth in ourselves and others. Paul continues in chapter 5 with ways that careless talk should be disciplined and ends with, this is not in our text, but right below it, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible. Everything is not denied, but in the light of God's goodness and truth is how we deal with things. Each of us have something to say, each of us here have something to say that can transform and build up the community of Christ. Let us take these matters seriously. You know something, you have something to say that nobody else in the congregation would think of or would try to say. Take that seriously, but it needs to be disciplined so that you don't just throw it in like a grenade and run. Don't ignore it. Oh, well, God has given you a prophetic word. I know you guys. I know that you have a prophetic word. But Paul is saying here, and he's saying to me, don't just stir it up, make a purpose with it. What do you think we are doing here at church? What's the point? I mean, we have things that you guys have thought through and made. What do you think that you are doing with your life? What is it to build up the church, to build up your life, your family or community? What does the unwholesome stuff have to do with our fellowship? What does it have to do with Christ? Should we never speak of it? There may be some things that we will never be led to speak of, except maybe with, there may be some things. There are probably things that Christ never said to anybody while he was on earth. There may be other things we do not wish to ever, ever, ever speak of, which we will be led in a time through our maturity, through the safety of a community of Christ, such as this one, where the Spirit will lead us to speak of it in a certain way, in a certain time, in order to build up the Christ. It may be a necessary word that is burning within us. We don't pretend that the ugliness doesn't exist, but we don't lead into ugliness. We lead into peace and strength through everything that is real. There is always the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that comes on ahead of us as we go through what seems unwholesome and debilitating, which we all have because we are in this earth, and we're here to work through those things, things that we will never have to do in heaven. That is our job now. Let us confirm our purpose and vision for what it means to imitate Christ, to be a fellowship of love. And with all that we say and do, may we aim toward the center with whatever is necessary to say. Christ forgave us. We have a past and lots of pain and uncertainty within us that is not yet resolved. May we make it a positive building experience to live in love that is informed by the truth. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.